So for those of you guys that are brand new that are on the phone today, or even if you aren't brand new, we talk about all the time, even though we have access to 35 different carriers and companies, we really live in about four or five of those areas, carriers. I mean, American Amicable, we use all the time for a term product, you know, with return of premium, and depending on the city that you're in, you have critical illness, disability coverage, return of premium, a term product. It's the only product on the market that I know, besides some people want to say the EIUL, but the only product on the market that I know and carrier that combines disability, critical illness, and return of premium with their term product. Unbelievable. Mutual of Omaha makes you pick one or the other. You can get disability or return of premium, but not both, and there's no critical illness. You know, United Home Life, which is a great term product for a 20, 30 year, they have a 20-year return of premium, but they don't have a 30-year return of premium. So there's advantages, but United Home Life is great for women pricing. You get a woman at 55 years old, you want to show her how to get her money back when she hits 75, or a woman at 48, you want to show her how to get her money back at 68 in retirement. One of those options you should be printing out is United Home Life, return of premium. They have incredible rates for women. So all these things you don't need to learn right now, but American Amicable, United Home Life, LSW, depending upon the city that you're in and the state that you're in, because they have, you know, living benefits such as critical illness, chronic illness, critical injury. They have a great term product, and they have a great EIUL or a fast start program for kids. LSW, depending upon, that's why you want to consult with your upline. Mutual of Omaha is one of them. Select. If someone's on disability because of their back or their neck or their hip or something like that, and again, I don't even know the whole 100% exactly what it is. That's why you do a risk assessment. But you know, hey, I have someone who wants a term product that's on disability and they're getting disability income. Hey, I know Mutual of Omaha can be one of those products I go to. That's one of the things the agent guy is going to help you out with. Transamerica, they have an immediate solutions product. And I think that we have two other products. Fidelity Guarantee is great for more of an advanced product with, an equity index universal life. So you won't really live there that much in the very beginning. And I know that Ultra Protector, I think it's called. Is that right, Paul? Zoltan? You've been doing some stuff. Or is that called Eagle Premier? What's the name of that product?
Eagle Premier.
And that's with AmeriCo?
Yes.
And, again, that's a little bit more advanced. We'll go, why is that? Well, because, guys, AmeriCo is not the easiest. There's reasons why we do what we do, right? And what happens is, what I love when new people get involved, and they go, I heard about this. And they start doing their own research, or they start watching videos. And we're not saying don't be independent and don't be creative and don't try to put you in a box, not to be imaginative, but we don't want to waste your time. See, it's great. Someone gets excited all about AmeriCo, and they go sign up for it. They start writing it, and they realize that a quarter of their organization and sales team can't even get contracted with them. Why? Because someone on their sales team had a DUI 10 years ago, or they had less than perfect credit. There's all sorts of different things that every carrier has, and nuances and goods and bads and uglies and in-betweens. That's why when you're new, don't worry about all that. You'll start to figure it out and learn it, and we're going to live with American Amicable. We're going to live with United Home Life, you know, for their term product and for their mortgage payment protection, as I call it, or critical period coverage, as you call it, or even final expense, which we're getting into a lot into right now, in terms of burial policies and stuff. A lot of people are filling their days and filling their leads with final expense products in terms of you know, getting, you know, they may have three or four mortgage appointments at the evening time, and they want to fill in their days, so they want to work 2 days and have it packed in. They're starting to order final expense leads. So when they put their A lead order in, they go, hey, I just want 10 A leads. I don't care. Mix them up. Make them final expense. Make them mortgage protection. And so you got Transamerica, United Home Life, you have American Amicable, you have LSW, and those are the main carriers. I mean, I guess, Paul, unless you feel like there's something else that I'm missing, those are the main carriers that you guys are going to live and breathe in for your first 6 to 8 months.
That's correct.
I mean, I looked at my 1099. This isn't bragging, guys, but I got 1099 from the carriers, and I made well over $350,000 last year in my second year. 32% of my income came from American Amicable. The other 32% of it came from United Home Life, and the other 32% of it came from LSW. I think I made like $4,000 with Transamerica, and you know, spattered amongst a couple other ones. I think Gerber, and I can't remember of them. There wasn't that many. I think I had like 7 or 8 1099s. So, you know, and that's not to brag. It goes to show you don't have to be this 35 versatile, insurance agents that has that. I mean, you have access to 35 different carriers and companies in case there's a very unique situation you get to find coverage for, but you really only need to get good at 3 or 4 of them, and pretty much you'll start to get a good feel of who to talk to or who you're going to present with who, depending on their situation, their age, and that agent guide is going to really help. So we're going to have the agent guide. You're going to get on 2 o'clock before 2 o'clock Central Time. You're going to get all your client qualification form, which I'm going to redo and update one. I was struggling trying to figure out how to do Word document and stuff, but I want the client qualification form to flow just like our script flows based upon how we do it, guys, as a team, and based upon the client qualification form that you're using right now. So I'm just going to edit it and change a little bit of it. So if you're listening to this afterwards, you're going to, you know, you hear this call a year from now, you're going to go, okay, you changing it? No, I'm not changing it. This is Easter weekend in 2016 at the end of March. So most likely, if you listen to this a year from now or 6 months from now, it's already been changed. And so this call is designed, we're going to go over a couple appointments. So let me start right here, okay? You're calling on your leads, right? Your main goal is to go out there and you just want to talk to 10 people. If you're brand new, you just want to go, hey, can I have a conversation past getting hung up on with 10 people on these B leads? That's all I want to try to do. I want to talk to 10 people. Because if you can't have a conversation past no thanks, I'm not interested, click, and you can't have a conversation with at least 10 people, how in the heck are you ever going to get past any type of objection to set an appointment? So really, in reality, when you're first getting started, your first goal should not be, I need to go out and set 10 appointments. No, your first goal should be, I need to have a conversation with 10 people and so I can get past the initial knee-jerk reactions. Get comfortable with that. Once you have a conversation with 4 or 5 of them, get on the phone with the person you're working with, or your mentor, your manager, the person that introduced you to the company. If they're not a manager yet, but they've been in for a while and they have success setting 8 to 10 appointments a week, get on the phone with them and say, hey, here's some of the things that I'm hearing. What do I do now? And they're either going to give you advice, or if they're smart, they're going to shoot you over a video that they're going to have access to, or an audio that's 15, 20 minutes that will teach you what to do now. You know, after you have a conversation with 10 people and you go, hey, listen, I have a conversation with 10 people now. I got one appointment. Great. Massive action, constant correction. I used to laugh when I heard that when I first got started, but it's really sunk into my head because that's what I did. Massive action, constant correction. I started thinking the other day, what did I do when I started? I was on the phone doing massive action. I was calling. I got the phone. I called Brad. I go, Brad, listen, here's what they're saying. What do you say? Let's try this. Okay, great. Hung up the phone. Tried it again. Calling. Got on the phone. Hey, Matt, what do you do here? Oh, that's what I do. You know, if you guys are working with the SWAT team, you have access to Paul Honeycutt and Matt and Brad Smith and, you know, Derek Brock and Marlon Falcon. We're all working together as a unified team here, guys. You know, Derek Brock's going to have no problem helping somebody if he gets paid on them or not, because he realizes that for a year and a half while he was running his business, guess what? Someone who was not getting paid or getting paid very little and not as much as he was off his team was helping his team. So we're all aware about us all working together in this organization, guys. And so you want to be able to have massive action, constant correction. The mistake I see a lot of people make when they get started is they have, you know, limited action and a lot of research, a lot of questions. Limited action and a lot of questions get you no results. Massive action and constant correction get you results. I wasn't that great in this thing, guys. I went out and bought 70 B leads, right? I put 70 B leads and I bought 70 B leads and I went out and the $3, $4 leads, $2 leads, $1 leads, those are the only ones that were available. I went out and purchased them and I went through all 70 of them and, you know, this dynamic, incredible guy who made millions of dollars in the past that Matt and Brad brought on board and said, you can make an impact on our sales organization. You can do some training for us and conference calls and put some things together based upon who you were mentored by. All that incredible pressure that I had, I booked 3 appointments. Whoop-dee-doo. There's people on this phone listening to this audio that booked far more than 3 off of far less leads. But I didn't crumble up. I didn't take a hit to my ego. I didn't sit there and go and think, I can't do this. I was slightly embarrassed. I felt like, ooh, this is a lot different than I thought it was going to be. And I quickly learned that my natural tonality, inflection, how I talk and how I speak and the pace I speak at, which I was used to talking to people and audiences and thousands of people doing trainings and business owners who like to have that pace, I quickly realized that, hey, Martha, who's 72 years old, that lives out in Anna, Texas, and her husband, Mitch, who are retired and have a $126,000 loan amount that they just refied, and one's recovering from cancer 4 years ago, and the other's got three high blood pressure medications, type 2 diabetic on metformin, don't really relate that well to hyper speed active. And so, you know, I had to start to learn to adapt. And I don't have to change the way who I am as a person, but I started realizing, hey, I had to kind of slow down a little bit and say, hey, hi, this is, you know, Nate Offert, and I'm sitting here with a form here in front of me, and it's it looks like it's got your signature on them. Well, I can't tell if it's you or your husband's, Martha, but it's in regards to your $150,000 loan amount here with Bank of America, and it says here that you put down here your birthday is 8/25/75, and well, not 75, that'd make you really young, maybe 8/75/1945. And basically, I'm doing an investigation on this form, and I just can't really tell if it's been taken care of yet or not. Would you mind answering a few questions for me real quick, Martha? Okay, great. I guess in the last year or so, maybe a year or 2 years ago, sometime in there, you guys either purchased or refinanced a home with Bank of America. Is that right? Oh, it is. Okay, well, congrats. Was that a purchase or refi? Refi? Oh, okay. What? It says here that they mailed you out a letter, and you picked it up. I don't know if you or your husband did, and you guys filled it out, and you sent it back to my office requesting some information about mortgage protection, you know, in case of a death or a disability or a critical illness or something more to happen to you or your husband, Mitch, that, you know, your home was either taken care of or there was some money coming in to make sure it wasn't as difficult for you guys to be able to, you know, be in a financial hardship. And I guess I'm calling you. I can't tell if this has been taken care of as of yet. Were you guys able to put that coverage in place for you or your family? Boom. Then I had people start having a conversation with me. And I went, oh, that's when you go to these boot camps and fall brawls or fall scores or whatever the heck, you know, advanced spring fours, fall backs, I don't know what they call them, when they start talking about slow and low. Oh, I was sounding like a telemarketer. I was talking too fast. I had too rapid of a pace. I was scaring people away. They didn't hear a word I was saying because I was calling, hey, Martha, this is Nate off at the Mortgage Protection Center. I'm just giving you a call real quick about the $150,000 loan amount they have with what Bank of America. And I just wanted to be really quick. I can't tell this thing taken care of. You might answer a few questions. Not interested, thanks. We already took care of that. As soon as I started slowing down and actually being a little bit more relatable and more inquisitive and start doing a little bit more of an investigation on these older leads, on the $2, $3, $4, $5 leads, I started slowing down and my appointments started speeding up, which basically means when I was slowing down and connecting, I started setting more appointments. And then I was like, wow, okay, now I started to learn. And I started to learn that, guess what, I got to be willing to change. See, the one thing that I knew is that it already worked. So I knew I couldn't bail myself out. I knew my excuses were kind of screwed because I saw people like, you know, and Katie Rudick wasn't in the company at that point in time, but there are other women like her that were killing it. You know, Julie Rinaldi and Nancy Dominguez were out there slaughtering it, right? And, you know, not to be funny, but I'm like, I'm not going to let no girl beat me, right? Right, guys? I'm going to let some girl take me up. So I knew, hey, okay, great. There's guys killing it. There's other people that were calling leads that called the same leads that I called that were older leads that were $3, $4, $5, $6 leads, whatever the case may be, or that we don't have $6 leads, but $5 leads, who were getting appointments and writing business. So the one thing I did know for sure, it wasn't the leads. You know, I was calling in Dallas, Texas, and there was organizations there 2 years prior to me. So the one thing I did know, it wasn't Dallas, Texas. It wasn't Plato, Texas. It wasn't Collin County or Dallas County or Tarrant County. Because there was people before me who had success. And as silly as it sounds, I realized it must be me, and I have to work on me. That's it. There was, I didn't know I got a bad batch of leads. There was no, it must be the area. There was no, hey, you know, there's other people who did it before me, which means it's possible. So I didn't freak out. I called them up and I said, hey, can I buy some more leads? And I got some more leads, and I started calling through the 70 of them that I didn't get a hold of, and I started calling the ones that the new one leads, and I was able to book 9 appointments. My goal was 10. I fell short, but I had a fairly good week that first week. So when you're getting started, don't worry about the agent guide. Don't worry about the product and which product in the market, how in the market, start trying to figure it out. You get a conversation with 10 people. You do massive action constant correction. You get on the phone, and then you got to figure out, can I book an appointment? When you get one, you can do two. If you do two, you can do four. If you do four, you can do eight. I need to book as many appointments prior to this call on a Saturday afternoon and get on the phone. I need to pull out my lead, or the form as I would call it, my client qualification form, and I just scan it in and send it to my key leader and or manager and the person that got me involved in the business, and then I'm going to get it. Let's say I got Paul involved in the business, and I'm only 5 weeks old. I'm going to take a look at it, and if I submitted 10 applications already, I'm going to keep it. I got carbon copies, so my manager's looking at it, my key leader's looking at it, and I'm looking at it. That's good, right? We got a new person that's out there booking more appointments while we're taking a look at this right an hour prior to the call. Or 30 minutes prior to the call, or during the call, if you don't have your appointments, the number of appointments that you need to have booked, let your key leader or manager take care of it. But now I'm going to start learning as well. So I'm going to learn, I'm going to go into the agent guide, I'm going to give him my 2 cents, and I'm going to sit there and go, okay, great, what would I propose? And I'm going to do like a little practice thing, okay, hey, great, what am I going to propose? What would I do here? You know, what would, you know, you see those bracelets, what would Jesus do, right? What would Paul Honeycutt do? Get one of those bracelets on there, you know, I'm going to look at, okay, what do I think that I would do as a person? If I was a manager and this person, and I'm going to practice, and I'm going to get on this call, and I'm going to listen to it. And when my manager emails my new person back, and they send back to it, and then I have a question, I can call my manager and go, hey, why did you tell Paul to do this, right? So Paul's my new person. I'm in for a couple weeks, and Marlon's my manager. And Marlon emails back and goes, hey, I would suggest this and this. And then I go, okay, great. Why did you do that, Marlon? Or Marlon's on the phone. He's on the phone with the new guy, and I'm a new guy. I'm on the phone with him. And I'm just going to find out, okay, great. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to learn until I get better at it, because eventually one day I'll be the key leader, or I'll be the manager, and I'll be doing this with my folks. So once I have those 10 applications in place, I'm going to have access to this agent online agent guide. It's going to help me determine what they qualify or what they don't qualify for. It doesn't mean that you don't do a risk assessment. So we're getting on these calls on Saturday afternoon. We're going to pick and choose maybe a total of 5 or 6 different deals. Each manager maybe can pick one or two they're going to go over with their team of whether they think this is a great one everyone on the call can benefit from, or whether they think that this is something that, you know, there was a mistake that they think that could be rampant throughout the entire agency, that someone made this mistake, someone else could have made that mistake. We're not doing it to call you guys out. We're not going to say, oh, John, you said to do this, and you didn't do that. See, because the person that you're working with that's been around for over a month, or your key leader, or whoever it is going to be doing it, if you've been around for more than a month, you're going to start writing. You're going to use that agent guide, right? You're going to use that agent online agent guide. You're going to write on top of it what you think you should market and why. And you're going to get an email back and go, yep, that's what you should do. Good job. And we're going to be able to take this, and we're going to be able to utilize these calls to go over maybe 5 or 6 deals that's going to benefit everybody. And we're going to utilize these calls to go through a lot of this training in terms of the, you know, what do I need to say on the phone? A lot of this massive action constant correction is going to be on this call right now on a Saturday afternoon. Right in the afternoon, right when you're done making your phone calls, we're going to get on and we're going to do as much massive action constant correction. So if you need to, you can hang up the phone, get off that call, and get right back on the phone like I did and start calling Saturday night and calling Sunday afternoon. And maybe not tomorrow because, you know, at the time of the recording of this call, it's Easter, but, you know, any other Sunday afternoon or Monday, whatever you need to do to get to your appointments. So these Saturday calls are going to be hands down one of the most beneficial and most important things that we do as an agency to not only help you with not getting policies declined, but also help you to position to know what to write, how to write it, why to write it, and make sure you're getting your policies approved and keep them on the books.
This is Lydia in Florida.